It's a series we've done over a period of time. We've invited people along to this particular session. We'll just open this out now so that everyone can access that as well. And we're looking at issues of leadership. Your leadership may be something which is a formal thing, either in church life or in your work life. But if we take leadership in its broadest sense, a leader is someone who has influence over others. We have spheres of influence, and there are people who come under our influence. And in that sense, every one of us is a leader in some way, shape, or form. And so whether you're in formal leadership or informal, then hopefully the principles apply. Let's pray, and then we'll look at our stuff this morning. Lord God, thank you for this brand new morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the perfect leader. Thank you that you lay down your life. You are the servant leader who gives yourself for us, that we might be forgiven, we might be your children. Lord, for the different areas of leadership you've entrusted to us, whether that be formal or informal, we pray that we would use that responsibility well and responsibly. Help us now as we think about some of the dangers of leadership, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're looking at this morning comes from a book by Derek Prime. He's written a great book called A Christian's Guide to Leadership. It's leadership for the whole church. And so we're particularly taking a leaf out of his book, literally. And I want to look at this particularly because some of you have been more or less aware of some of the issues that have been going on. But the evidence for the dangers of leadership in Jesus' church is all too apparent. If you're aware of the situation with Jonathan Fletcher, where recently, he's a guy who did our church weekend a few years ago, he's been exposed as been involved in spiritual abuse of those under his authority. If you're aware of the ministry of Willow Creek, you'll know Bill Hybels has been investigated, and there's been found to be grounds for sexual impropriety. Some of you be aware of individual situations. I have a friend who is in ministry. Many of us looked up to him. He was found to be involved in adultery in many ways in the church, different people. And these were godly people who fallen. And so we mustn't put our leaders on a pedestal. There are real dangers for leaders, and Christian leaders are not exempt from that. And that's why I think it's important. This isn't just a theoretical talk this morning. This is from the heart, and this is real. We need to be aware of the dangers of leadership. And I'm going to go through some, and then we're going to discuss. So here we go. You've got them listed on your handouts. There's the danger of leading people astray. So the Apostle Peter, he was a wonderful, gifted leader. And in Galatians 2, 11 to 14, has everyone got a handout, by the way? I think they were being given on the way in. Okay, great. In Galatians 2, 11 to 14, in Galatia, when Peter went to Galatia, he mixed with all sorts of people, people from Jewish backgrounds, people from Gentile backgrounds. However, when a crowd of Christians turned up with a Jewish background, Peter withdrew from those from a Gentile background. And Paul has to confront him over it. And what happened was that Christians found themselves automatically going along with his bad practice, with his double-mindedness, double standards. And as the saying goes, when a big tree falls, lots of little ones fall with it. So there's huge potential to lead people astray when you have leadership influence over people. And of course, the bigger, the more powerful leader, then the more, and the more influence, then the more potential there is to lead others astray. Then false stewardship. There's a danger of false stewardship. Hebrews 11:17 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Why? Because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. So the area of leadership that you have, you will give an account before before God. It has been entrusted to you to steward well. And so there's a danger of false stewardship, that we don't steward leadership well. Here's a big one. Conceit and pride is a big danger for leaders. So 1 Timothy 3:6, an elder must not be a recent convert or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. And what I want to say here is that mature Christians are no less at risk. The risks are still there. It's just that with maturity, we should be better able to spot when pride is rearing its ugly head and know better how to deal with it. But nonetheless, the risks are always there. Immature and mature Christians. And we need to be careful not to spoil the good work that we do by taking credit for it. Hudson Taylor, founder of China Inland Mission, now OMF, was once introduced to a congregation in Melbourne as our illustrious friend. "Dear friends," he began, "I am a little servant of an illustrious master." And that's it, isn't it? That's where we want to see ourselves. I wonder if you've noticed what might have happened to your heart when you've been given increased responsibility in church, in work, in social settings. Often increased responsibility reveals truths about our proud hearts that we've not before realized. Turn to James chapter 4. If you've got a Bible, James 4. James 4 and verse 6. So as leadership responsibilities may increase, and we can apply this here, James 4 verse 6, "but he gives us more grace." That is why the scripture says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." So that's a call there to something we do. We humble ourselves. That is a really good prayer to pray. "Lord, would you humble me? Would you keep me humble?" I came across this wonderful quote. It's anonymous. "Except that someday you're the pigeon and someday you're the statue." What do pigeons do to statues? It's just making the point. You've got to be humble. Leadership is messy. And I think it's fair to say that a humble leader, a good leader, will take most issues seriously, but not themselves. So if you're beginning to believe that you're indispensable or are enjoying other people considering that you're indispensable, well, then you should immediately look around for ways to try and sensibly delegate some of that responsibility. And in this, keeping humble, having people who will speak truth to us and give us constructive feedback is important. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 5 says, "It is better to heed the rebuke of a wise person than to listen to the song of fools." And pride is a continual snare for leaders at all stages of life. Remember King Uzziah? What a godly king. What a great king. And yet 2 Chronicles 26:16 says, "But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." So, conceit and pride. And then next, a domineering attitude. With pride comes the peril of dictatorship. If you're a leader, it comes with the obligation of directing people. If there's no one following, then you're not a leader. It's by definition. But we've got to be careful of loving this too much and becoming a little dictator. So 1 Peter 5, let's turn there. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 4. Just over a few pages from James. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. And this is talking about elders here, but we can apply the principles. "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and as a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Now here it is, not lording it over those entrusted to you. Contrast by being, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, here's the accountability. You'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So just see there in verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples. So a domineering attitude, if that is your personality type, if that's your tendency, then while it can be avoided as we recognize that we lead by example and not by dictation and pressure. And we want to be wise leaderships who exercise authority without assertiveness. Domineering. It's hard to get that right. Then a lack of accountability. Leaders must never be a law to themselves. So here's the thing. As you're given responsibility, the danger is that you don't pastor your own heart, especially if you're in pastoral leadership. You're pastoring other people, but the danger is you don't pastor your own heart. And the best way for this to happen is in a partnership with someone or some people outside of your sphere of leadership. So I make a deliberate point of meeting with guys who are not part of our church family, but are in a similar situation. So we can speak very freely with each other about where our own hearts are. We've got some growing to do that in the groups that I'm in, but we're trying to do that. But then a possessiveness. And this is the refusal to let go of a sphere of responsibility, and not being willing to let go of responsibility has done much to hinder the effectiveness of Christian churches and organizations. Ownership is a really good thing, but we need to remember that the work is not our work, it's God's work. So, you know, when you hand over leadership of something, others will come along and change what we've done. And we've got to be aware of thinking that nobody could do a better job than us. We might not say that, but that's often what's going on in our heart. God is able to equip others even as he has present leaders. And here's what happens if we get possessive. We actually kill the very thing we want to perpetuate. We quench the enthusiasm of our most likely successors and probably lose them. So leadership involves the ability to know when to hand over well and to bow out. But then a sphere of personal power is a danger. So leadership, it should never be seen as a stepping stone to the achievement of personal ambitions. We're to accept the leadership God gives us as for Christ, for blessing others, not for personal advantage and prestige. And of course, our hearts are tricky on this. We're often mixed in our motives. And it means this, that when you're gathering teams, you need to have teams who share your vision, who share the vision. But beware of only gathering around you people who are like you and who will blindly follow. You need people to follow, but not blindly. So if people have the impression that to get on with you, they must only ever see eye to eye on the little details, well, then we've failed as leaders if we do that. Becoming an idol is another danger of leadership. And this is where personality is used, experience is used, position is used to become a star that others worship. Unquestioningly, there's unquestioning allegiance with specific followers, and Christian circles are not exempt from this. And the other thing is where we're followers, and every good leader is a follower. We all follow people because they inspire, and we read their stuff, we listen to their talks, we follow their example. But wherever we're followers, we've got to stop hero worshipping and thinking that there's not a bad thing that could be said about this person. There's an awful lot of bad things that could be said about all of us, isn't there? So don't put your leaders on a pedestal and treat them different, as though they're kind of above you. God gives authority, but it's God-given. So the danger of becoming an idol. Just the flip side of this. Look, be thankful when people appreciate what you're doing. That's a really good thing, and you should be thankful for that and appreciate their appreciation. But discourage hero worship. It's bad for your pride, therefore it displeases God. It is bad for them because they'll depend on you, not God. And when you step down, you'll be very, very hard to replace. So there are some dangers of leadership. You may think of others. Early on time. Okay. A couple of things to remember. Our danger is that we get so caught up in leadership that it kind of runs away with us and becomes an end in itself. Acts 20, verse 28. I've printed it on your handout. It's key. Keep watch over yourselves. This was Paul speaking to church leaders. Keep watch over yourselves. Well, church leaders are meant to keep watch over other people. Well, they are, but also they've got to keep watch over themselves. So when we're in leadership, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock with which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. What matters is not so much the reputation with which you retire from your sphere of leadership, but the honor with which your people give to the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly in Christian leadership. Came across a great quote from former head of the UN, Dag Hammarskjöld. I'm not sure how you say his name. Something like that. He says this. Around a man who has been pushed into the limelight, a legend begins to grow as it does around a dead man. But a dead man is in no danger of yielding to the temptation to nourish his legend or accept its picture of reality. I pity the man who falls in love with his image as it is drawn by public opinion during the honeymoon of publicity. I'm very insightful. Okay, well, we're going to stop there. I hope that's just some helpful headlines there. Any questions just coming back, and then we'll get into groups. Any questions or comments? Ed, yeah. 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 So the question was, how do I as a Christian leader avoid professionalism? And I chuckle because a lot of what I do feels very unprofessional. So God keeps me humble. You think, oh boy, that was pretty ropey. It's interesting. I remember when I was at Cornhill, one of us in our class, asking David Jackman, how have you stayed humble as a Christian leader over the years? And David just laughed and he said, look, the Lord has his ways of keeping you humble. And I think he does. But I think that's slightly different from what you're saying. I think it's difficult. It's really easy. So in my own kind of walk with God to be having my devotions, for example, and in the back of my mind, there's a separate train that's running. And I'm thinking, how could I teach this? How could I preach this? Well, that's not actually pastoring my own heart. That's going into work mode. So I think it's a continual struggle. And I do think the accountability thing is important. Having people who can ask you pointed questions and say, where are you struggling with sin at the moment? Last time we met, you said this was a struggle. How's it going over the last month? I think that's really important. I think there's going to be a couple of things, but it's a challenge, I think.
It's quite
Yeah, well, I think if you're involved in leadership in church, there's a big crossover between your work life and what is just life. You know, we do a lot of stuff. I would do a lot of stuff that I do now anyway if I wasn't a pastor. So, but it's kind of my work. So when I go to a life group, it's kind of, that's my workplace, but it's kind of not either because I'd go anyway. You know, here on a Sunday morning, I'd be here if I wasn't a pastor. Yeah, so there's a big crossover, I think. Why don't we get into groups? There's some questions there. So what do you consider to be the main perils of leadership and why? Are there other things that I've missed on here? How do we foster a right sense of accountability for each other? What are the main barriers to doing this? And what are the best antidotes to pride that you can think of? Why don't we just get into groups, and then we'll just feedback a bit at the end before I pray. So into groups of three or four, that'd be great. We've got about five, so you can carry on those conversations over coffee. I was going to have time to feedback, but I think we were out of time, really. We're going to pray in a moment. Just one other couple of observations just on the whole thing of, well, the question to me was about being a professional leader, professionalism, but I think there's a broader issue there, just mulling that over now while you're talking, about our identity. So think about the area of leaderships and spheres of leadership that you have. The tendency we have is to then see our identity in those things. And I do think it's coming back to just, I'm a disciple of Christ. I live at the cross. That is key. And that stops us either from professionalism or whatever it is, you know, is your area of leadership, that becoming your identity. It's not. You're first and foremost a disciple of Christ who needs a Savior and who has a sufficient Savior. You don't need to prove yourself through responsibility the Lord gives you. Christ is everything. We believe that, that's humbling. So I do think at the heart of that question is it's about our identity, how we see ourselves before God. Yeah. And we've got to keep reminding ourselves. We want to honor each other in the different leadership and giftings the Lord's given us. But we want to do that in a way that says, Christ is your everything. Don't define yourself by your position or your gifting, your responsibility, your disciple of Christ. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray this prayer that's on your sheet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please deliver me from the pride that feels that the perils that beset others will not come to me. May I love the tasks that you give me, not because of any prominence that they give, but because they are a means of honoring the Lord Jesus, to whom I owe more than everything. Help me to be sensitive to your Spirit when he would alert me to a danger or snare into which I may fall. I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, it's coffee time, but do carry on those conversations over coffee. There's much more to be said, I'm sure.